the suggestion was made that because half of the students will probably not be here today, we should go through some of the dinim of Yom Kippur and Sukkot and continue on Chulin tomorrow. Okay? The mitzvah of Davod Dinim, the Mishnah says, Lulav Nitol Bamigdush Kol Shiva Bamedina Yom Echad. The mitzvah of shaking the lulav all 7 days only applied in the Beis Hamikdash Min HaTorah, and outside the Beis Hamikdash, it only says Vakachta Lachem B'Yom Harishon, the first day of Sukkot. Mishachar Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi, and he made 9 takonos. Many of his takonos were made after the Churban Abayis, and many of them were Zecher Hamikdash. So Mishachar Beis Hamikdash, he made the takonos, he had lulav nito kol shiva Zecher Hamikdash. Usually we have Yontem Sheni Shel Golias. We already have a luach in the days until the days of Abai Barav. They used to have a bezdin in Eretz Yisrael. They used to be mikdash al pihariya. Then during the lifetime of Abai Barav, they lived in Gogol, so they couldn't. They didn't have any smicha, so they couldn't do kiddush hachodesh. But during their lifetime, the counterparts in Eretz Yisrael will still be mikdash al pihariya, and then they changed it to kiddush al pi hacheshbon. So when they had the Luach Kabu on the days of Abai V'Rav, and when it was established, so then the Shaila was whether it may still make sense to observe Yontem Sheni Shel Golias. So the Psak was given. The Gemara at the beginning of Beitza called Shalch Mitam. They sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael that he Zor B'Mini Avasech Medechem, he should still observe Yontem Sheni Shel Golias. So the Shaila is, maybe Yontem Sheni Shel Golias was only instituted when he get to Yisem Alocha, when he get to Davening. Shmoneh Esrei, when you get to the Yontev digger things, instead of treating the day like a chol, you treat it like Yontev. Or let's say, second day Rosh Hashanah. If it wouldn't be second day Rosh Hashanah, Yontev Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah is even in Eretz Yisrael. If it wouldn't be Rosh Hashanah, you wouldn't be davening Musaf, and you wouldn't be having Tkiyah Shofar and so on. But let's say the second day of Sukkot is Ben Kovako. It's already from the Takonos Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakkai that you shake a lulav all 7 days. So does it make sense to say that we on the second day of Sukkot we shake a lulav because it's Yontem Sheni Shel Sukkot? You shake a lulav anyway because all 7 days lulav nital b'medina kol shiva Takonos Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakkai was way before the days of Abai V'Rav. So that's a big machlokes in the Ritva. The Ritva Masech HaSukkah, which is traditionally is printed in the Chidusha HaRashba. When they first printed it, they thought it was the Rashba, and then they realized that it's the Ritva. So he quotes this Machlekes, the Shaila is they need Shalachem on the second day of Sukkot. We assume that you only need Shalachem on the first day Sukkot, and the rest of Sukkot, that it's only Takanas Abiyach Menzaki, you don't need Shalachem. Or Choser, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Ulekachtem Lekicha Tama. Kichatama means that if you have a nick in the esrig, it's possible. Chaser is possible. So the Gemara says the chaser is kosher the rest of the days of Sukkot. It's only possible on the first day. So the Shad says, what about the second day Yontev? You say that Yontev Sheni, there is a Yontev Sheni Shel Sukkot. You're not allowed to do Malach on the second day Yontev. You don't treat the second day Sukkot like Cholamayit. So the question is, that's the Machlokes in the Ritva. Maybe the institution of Yontev Sheni, Zor B'Minig Avasechem Yedechem, was only with respect to Yisem Alocha, with respect to having Sudas Yontif and so on, maybe with respect to Netilas Lulav, since Ben Kovakol you're shaking a Lulav because Takanas HaBeichem and Zakkai, Shehe Lulav Nito Kol Shiva Zechal Migdash, and maybe they never added on the Chumris that you should shake a Lulav because it's Yontif Sheni of the first day. Ben Kovakol you're going to shake a Lulav, so that's a Machlaikas. So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Bikur Yankiv. Bikur Yankiv is a sefer, that's the first sefer that Rabbi Yaakov Etligan wrote. That's why he called it Bikur Yankiv. And then he wrote the Orch Laner on the Gemaris, and the Shalashuv is Binyan Tzion. Very nice form. They're all very nice form. So the first sefer that he wrote, the very marvelous sefer on Hilchas Sukkah, on Shulchan Aruch, a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. The Pinimam, the sefer, is the Shulchan Aruch with the Mechaber with the Ramon, and then he has his commentary, Alikot the Vachreidim, and he adds his own. So he points out that in Shulchan Aruch it says Beferish that there is a din of Yontem Sheni, Shal Golias, on the second day of Sukkot, that you do need Shalachem, and Chaser is Pasal on the second day. So the Mishnah Brura quotes this from the Bikur Yankiv, that people make a mistake. People think that you only need Shalachem on the first day. And the second day they think there's no need for Elohim. So he says it's a Beferish and Machaber, which was pointed out by the Bikuri Yankiv that you do need Shalachem. All the dinim do apply. We have two dinim that are learned out from the same phrase, Ulakachtem, that you need Lakichatamo. So the Gemara learns that the Dalaminim Shibulula Ma'akfim Zeh, that's a Mishnah in the middle of Menoches. Mishnah Menoches lists off which things are Ma'akfim Zeh, which things are not. Tfilin Shal Yad, Tfilin Shal Rosh are not Me'akfim Zeh, Dalaminim Shibulula Me'akfim Zeh. All the different things in Menoches and Menorah and the Beis Hamikdash, what's Ma'akim Zezeh? And the Mezuzah has a whole list of many things. When is it Ma'akim Zezeh, when not? So the Dalaminim Shebululav Ma'akim Zezeh, based on the Pasuk, Ulakachtem Lekichatama, then you need all the Dalaminim. And also learned that from Ulakachtem Lekichatama, that Chaser is Pasul. So Chaser is Pasul, the Gemara says, Beferish only applies on the first day of Sukkot. Chaser, the rest of the days of Sukkot, is kosher. So you're saying that you don't need Lekichatama for the last days of Sukkot. So you should say that the last days of Sukkot, the Dalminim Shebululav, are not Miyakim Zezeh. So the Rishonim asked this question. You learn out two dinim from Lekichatama, and one of them, Choser, for sure doesn't apply to the Shar HaYomim. So why shouldn't you say that the Dalminim Miyakim Zezeh also shouldn't apply? So one of the Rishonim Taka says that it doesn't apply, that the Dalminim are not Miyakim Zezeh. The Michtam, Sefer HaMichtam, quotes his father like that. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Beis Yosef quotes that Sefer HaMichtam. He always has, the Sefer HaMichtam always has something original, very irregular, non-conventional. But that's not the way we paskin. So all the Rishonim explained that the two different drushes that you learned out from Lekachtam, Lekichatama, so the Vart of Lekichatama, that the Dalmin and Mamiachm Zezeh, that makes sense, that applies to all the 7 days of Sukkot. And the Lekichatama, that Chaser is possible, so that we paskin only applies on the first day of Sukkot, and by us, the first two days of Sukkot. Shaila is, do you need Shalachem in Beis HaMikdash? Then why don't you need Shalachem the last days of Sukkot? Ulakachtem is Shalachem. Why don't you need Shalachem the last days of Sukkot? So Taisus on the first daf in Lulav HaGozal assumes because it's only Midirabbanan. If it would have been their Isa, let's say at Lulav Nital Bamikdash called Shiva was their Isa, then you would have needed Shalachem. But by us, it's after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, only the Rabban, that's why you don't need Shalachem. The Ramban and the Malchamas, in the beginning of Lulav HaGozal, has a famous piece where he disagrees with Taisus. He says, no, how do you know, how did you establish that Lulav is Nital Bamikdash Kol Shiva, based on the Pasuk that says, means a Mikdash Shivas Yomim. How do you do the Simcha with the Dalanin? So the Ramban says, it's not a mitzvah of lulav. It's not a mitzvah kol shiva of dalad minim and the beis hamikdash. It's a mitzvah of smachtem. For the mitzvah of smachtem, you don't need shalachem. You just need the way you do the simcha, smachtem, shivas yamim, is with the chefze of the mitzvah of a lakachtem. But it's not the same mitzvah as a lakachtem. It's a different mitzvah. So he says, even in mikdash, that lulav was nito kol shiva was a din darai, so there was no need for shalachem. It's a different mitzvah, smachtem. That's a shaila bismanazeh. The Bikuri Yankev has another chiddush which the Mishnah Brura does not quote. That he puts together two chiddushim. He says the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis on Maseches Sukkah writes a chiddush that lulav nitol b'amikdash kol shiva doesn't only refer to the Beis HaMikdash. It applies to all of Yerushalayim because it's based on the pasuk v'smachtem lefnei Hashem alakech m'shiva asyamim. And the word Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem has different meanings in different contexts. So sometimes it says, let's say, when you shecht karbonis. So it says in Vayikra, chapter 1, it says, V'shochat az ben abaka Lefnei Hashem. So what does it mean, Lefnei Hashem? So the Mishnah is saying, Svachim, that you have to shecht the karbonis in the Azara. Even Kachim Kalim have to be nishchat in the Azara. Kachim, if you take it out of the Azara, and if so, be yotze. Kachim Kalim is nechav b'chol huyir. But still, you can't shecht the Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. All karbanos have to be geshocht and in the azar, because we understand geshochet as ben abaka lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem means in the azar. Then you have a din that on Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar, and on a Taanis Sibur you blow chatzitzus. And in the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishnah says that both on a Taanis Sibur and on Rosh Hashanah used to blow shofar and chatzitzus. Whenever they had shofar, they had to blow chatzitzus. Whenever they had chatzitzus, they had to blow shofar. They had to have both together. And that's only a din in the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says that based on the pasuk in Tehillim, "V'chatzotzos v'kol shofar hariu lefnei Hamelach Hashem." So the Gemara says, "Lefnei Hamelach Hashem." Lefnei Hashem is only in the Har HaBayis. It doesn't apply outside. So there, the Gemara doesn't say that it's dafke in the Azor. The Gemara says, "Lahayu oisim kein to have shofar with chatzotzos ela b'Har HaBayis b'lvat." So you see that there, the word lefnei Hashem. Over there means in Har HaBayis. Then you have a third pasuk that says, "V'achalto sham lefnei Hashem alakecha ma'isa digon chavisi rosh chaviyitzarecha." You should eat ma'isa sheni and should eat kachim kalim in Yerushalayim. You don't have to eat a davke in the Har HaBayis, and you certainly don't have to eat a davke in the Azor. So there, the phrase lefnei Hashem refers to all of Yerushalayim. How can it be that the same phrase, lefnei Hashem, the same expression, sometimes refers to Azara and sometimes refers to Har HaBayis, sometimes refers to all of Yerushalayim? So the answer is that there are different levels of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. The most, that's the Mishnah and Kelim. As the Kedushas saying, the 10 levels of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash are the most powerful location of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim Bein Shnei Abadim. And then the whole Heichal has a little lower level of Kedusha than the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then Ulam has a lower level. Then Bein Ulam Olam Mizbech has a slightly lower level. As you're going out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim further out, so the level of Kedusha Beis HaMikdash gets less and less. So Lefnei Hashem means in the Beis HaMikdash, but there are different degrees of Beis HaMikdash. Based on the context, that's how the Minchas Chinuch points out. Based on the context, in each given pasuk, you have to figure out which level of Kedusha Beis HaMikdash you're talking about. So by Shechitos Karbonos, the Tanaim understood it was a tradition like that. They always shech Karbonos in the Azor, even the Kodeshim Kalim. So there they understood B'shochet as Ben Abakar Lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem refers to the Azor. And then by B'chatzitz V'kol Shofar Haru Lefnei Melech Hashem, the practice was that they blew in Har HaBayis, not only in the Azor, Har HaBayis like that. So there they understood that the mashmos of that pasuk is anywhere in Har HaBayis or in the Azor. And then B'chal Tosham Lefnei Hashem Elokecho, to eat kachim kalim and ma'aseh sheni in lefnei Hashem, so there they understood that it's enough if it's in Yerushalayim. So here the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos on Sukkah that originally b'tchila lulav hayanita b'amikdash kol shiva doesn't only refer to the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash proper in the whole Yerushalayim. The Rambam is quoting from the Talmud Yerushalmi that all of Yerushalayim is like that. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does not quote it, but in the Pirush HaMishnayos he quotes this. So the Bikur Yankov has this chiddush. Bikur Yankov lived 100 years ago. So he has this, almost 100 years ago. So he has this fantastic chiddush that Bizman Azeh, in Yerushalayim, maybe there's a mitzvah in our Torah to shake lulav kol shiva, and you would perhaps need shalachem. According to Tesvis, that you need shalachem whenever the mitzvah of lulav is deraisa, even kol shiva and mikdash, you need shalachem. So if you put together the Rambam's psak that kitchel osi lovai, that the kedusha is based on migdash, the kedusha of Yerushalayim is kitchel osi lovai, with what the Rambam wrote in the Pirush HaMishnah is that all of Yerushalayim has a mitzvah men atorah to shake a lulav. So it'll come out that the mitzvah men atorah still applies bezman as they're in the old city Yerushalayim because it's kitchel osi lovai. And if you throw in the tesis, you need shalachem. So let's say a person already davened in Beit Vegan, he davened Shachris and Musaf in Beit Vegan on Chalamoid. Then he drives to the old city and he goes in and he wants to daven by the Kosel HaMaravi or something, even though he's not in the Azor, but he's in the Yir Atika. So that's what the Bikur Yankov is Mechadish. Maybe he's Muhiv not to shake a lulav and an Esrog all over again. He wasn't Yotze with what he did in the morning. What he did in the morning was Bamedina, that's Chutz Yerushalayim. And now that he's in Yerushalayim, he has a Chiv to shake the lulav again. That's the chiddush that he has. So people are careful about that. So when people come to visit the Kosel HaMaravi and Chol HaMoed Sukkah, somebody will give you a lulav and esrog. They'll offer to give you a matana manas nachzer. So you look at him like he's an amoris. What do you need a matana manas nachzer? Shaul is good. Shara yamim Shaul is good. No, it's based on this Bikur Yankov. Even if you already shook a lulav in the morning, but you shook in not in the Yir Atika, you shook a lulav in Tel Aviv or wherever you were. Now you come to the old city, so according to the Bikur Yankov, you're mechuyev to shake a lulav again, because Yerushalayim is kitchel osi lovan. According to the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Rambam, all of Yerushalayim is considered mikdash, and according to Tesis, you need shalachem. Whenever dalad minim is deraisa, you need shalachem. That's why you'll have a good Samaritan who'll be giving you matana manas lachzer on the dalad minim. Rabbi Gerelik, told us when he was learning by Rav Elvela Soloveitchik in Brisk, before anyone was even dreaming about the establishing a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. No one was thinking, it was the furthest thing from anyone's mind that there's ever going to be, during our lifetime, a Medina established in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik said, he used to talk to Rav Chaim Oizer about it. Rav Chaim Oizer used to go to the Aguda conventions, but he used to talk about these things. He used to talk about the possibility of establishing Medina. So he once spoke to Rav Chaim Oizer. He said, when hair will start growing on this side of my hand, that's when there's going to be a Medina in Eretz Yisrael. It was the furthest thing, and he was a good politician. That was the furthest thing from anyone's mind, that it's ever really going to happen during their lifetime. It didn't happen. Rav Chaim Oizer died before it happened, but he didn't think it was going to happen so soon. So Rabbi Gerelik said this was before, when he was learning about Rav Elvela. He said that one of the Talmidim asked, what would you say on the first day of Sukkot? On the first day of Sukkot, it's Minat Torah to shake a lulav all over the world. So the person shook a lulav in Bayit Vegan, that Bayit Vegan didn't exist at that time. Person shook a lulav in Tel Aviv existed. Person shook a lulav in Tel Aviv. Okay, can't walk to the Yir Atikah from Tel Aviv. Okay, let's say Meir Shorim. Person shook a lulav in Meir Shorim, and then he goes to walks to the Yir Atikah. Would you say that there's room to say he's mechuyev to shake a lulav again on the first day? The mitzvah of Mikdash, the mitzvah to shake a lulav of Mikdash, it says, "V'smachtam lefnei Hashem alkechem shivas yamim." Shivas yamim means all 7 days. So even though you shook a lulav chutz liYerushalayim on the first day, when you come into Yerushalayim, you have an additional chiyuv to shake a lulav a second time. That's how you read the pasuk shivas yamim. But does it mean the remaining 6 days of the 7 days? Lakachna lachem bayam arishon creates hador. Everyone should shake a lulav on the first day, Sukkot. Then the remainder of the 7 days, maybe it doesn't go again a repeat on the first day, or maybe it only goes on the remainder of the 7 days. So if you walk from Meir Shorim to Yerushalayim on the first day, maybe you're not, are you mechuyev to shake a lulav a second time or not? So Rabbi Gerelik, Rabbi Elvela thought for a moment, and he said he doesn't know. It's a good shaila. He doesn't know. So there's a big fat three volumes on the Sefer HaMitzvah Rav Sadia Gaon by Rabbi Yeruchim Pella. He raises the issue in his Sefer, and he claims he thinks he has a machlokes harishonim from the Mefarshim on Chumash. How they translate the pasuk Shivas Yamim? Whether Shivas Yamim means the remainder of the 7 days, but there's no repeat of the mitzvah on the first day. First day there's only the mitzvah lakachton lachem bayam arishon. There is no additional mitzvah to shake a lulav in the Beis HaMikdash. And other Rishonim, he thought, Rabbi Yochanan Pella thinks, other Rishonim understand that even on the first day, there's also a mitzvah to, a special mitzvah to shake the lulav davke in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash means all the Yir Atikah, so that'll be included also. So even if you walk from Meir Shorim to the Kol Shel to the Yir Atikah on the first day, it's kedai to shake a lulav again. You don't say a bracha because we're not so convinced that any of this is correct. Not everybody agrees with the Rambam that the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim is kitshel lasulav. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and not everybody agrees with the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah is that all of Yerushalayim is considered the Mikdash. The Rambam himself in the Mishnah Torah does not quote that passage from the Yerushalmi. He only quotes it in the Pirush HaMishnah. But this was the chiddush of the Bikur Yankov. That if a person already davened, he already shook a lulav, called Shiva, and then he goes to the Yir Atikah, he shake lulav again, based on the combination of these two Rambams, the Kitchel Asilova Rambam, and the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos.
Rabbi, what about the other way around? Would it be a problem of Chavilos if you shake if you have the Umis of Usmachtem and Ulakachtem Chamayim Rishon? So if you just take a lulav during Hallah, would that be a problem of Chavilos or no?
I don't think so. I mean, if a guy lives in the Yir Atikah, yeah, you tell him he has to go out, has the davke go out of the Yir Atikah.
No. Shake the lulav. Maybe. All right.
Whenever he's going to shake it in Yerushalayim, it's going to be lakachtam lachem b'yom rishon. The Gemara in Sukkah says, kachayim and hagam shalan she Yerushalayim. He used to carry the lulav and the dalminim all day long. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested a possibility that maybe that's only anshe Yerushalayim. Maybe this practice only made sense in Yerushalayim because we usually assume it a agbehe nofek day. That once you pick up the dalamin and you are yotze the mitzvah already, if you pick it up the second time, there's no kima mitzvah. That's how we usually assume. Rashi holds not so. Rashi is quoted in the Sefer Pardes as having said, just like by tefillin, let's say a person wore tefillin in the morning and said a bracha, then he decides he wants to put on tefillin to mincha. So the Gemara has a machlekes, a masechah suk, and we pass like Rebbe, tefillin Every time you put on tefillin on the same day, put on several times, if there was a hesach hadas in between, a hefsik in between the first hanocha and the second hanocha, so you say bracha on the second hanocha's tefillin. So Rashi's opinion is that the same applies with respect to dal and minim, that every time you shake dal and minim in the course of the day, you say bracha again. We don't follow that opinion. We hold that once you were yotze merag bein nafek bein, and you don't say bracha on the second hakboaz dal and minim. We assume that the first time is the mitzvah, the second time is not mitzvah. So what did the Anshei Yerushalayim gain by carrying around the dal minim all day long? Just lahadia kama mitzvahs chavivas aleim. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Just chavivas ha-mitzvah. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe this is based on that Pirush HaMishnayis LaHarambam that the Rambam quoted from Yerushalmi, that all of the year Atika, all of Yerushalayim has that special mitzvah smachtam lafnei Hashem lakech mishivas yamim. So Anshei Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim there's a mitzvah to carry around the lulav all day long. Chutz Yerushalayim, maybe there is no such chavivas ha-mitzvah. Maybe it doesn't constitute a chavivas ha-mitzvah because medag bei nafek bei, the first time that you shook the lulav you were yotze already and nothing is added by continuing to carry the rest of the day. A suggestion. Maybe it's not true. Maybe it's a chavivas ha-mitzvah even outside of Yerushalayim also, but that was a possibility because the Gemara only quotes this chavivas ha-mitzvah with respect to the Anshei Yerushalayim. The Vilna Gaon says which way? All day long. Okay. So he obviously thought not so. Good.
Shkoyach. When we say carry, we mean carry it like you carry it for Oshanos? You walk it together or just like carry it in a bag?
No. Carrying the bag, that's not the Chavivas HaMitzvah. So you have to take the esrog out of the container and hold it with the pitam up and so on. Yeah,
the
yeah.
Right, the
yeah, yeah.
Right.
Otherwise, that's not Chavivas HaMitzvah. Just to carry it in the box, that wouldn't enhance anything.
And the Rebbe mentioned the Eretz Tzvi holds that you can continue holding on to the continue a mitzvah within its manachiyuv.
With respect what? The dalet minim?
With respect to any mitzvah, like by matzah, any mitzvah that just continues.
Yeah, each mitzvah you have to judge, yeah. It may not necessarily be all the same. So by lulav is a machlekes, Rashi and the others, well, they say bracha. So we don't pass like Rashi. We don't say a bracha the second time you pick up the lulav. So that's a shaila. Maybe you don't enhance anything by holding the lulav the rest of the day. The Gemara has a machlokes tatanoim in the first parak in Sukkah with a lulav tzarech eged, a lulav ein tzarech eged. So we pass the lulav ein tzarech eged, but lachatchila it's a mitzvah liyogdoi. The Gemara is beferish later on in the Lamids that according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that lulav tzarech eged, that the eged should be a kesher al gabi kesher, should be a kesher shal kayama. Not time to wrap it around and tuck in the eged. It should be dafke kesher shal kayama. So Rashi writes on that gemara around daf lamed gimel. So Rashi writes that the way we pass from la locha that lulav ein tzarech eged is just lachatchila mishum hida mitzvah zekei levian veyu. So the hida mitzvah is to have a kesher al gabi kesher, not time to wrap it around and tuck it in. So most people don't do that. Most people when they have the hadasim and arabis, they don't make a kesher al gabi kesher. So the Mishnah quotes from a sefer Agura b'Ohalecha that the container that we usually buy with the lulav, that you put the hadasim in one side and the arabis in the other side, so that's a crisscross of strips of a lulav. So that has the status of a kesher al gabi kesher. So that's why we don't have to make another kesher. When you take a strip of the lulav and you wrap it around, the practice is just wind it around and you tuck it in. You don't make a double knot because we use the keshikol, and the keshikol has the status of a kesher al gabi kesher. Some are insistent that you should bedavka not use that keshikol. Why? Because the Gemara raises an issue of tasav alay min ha'osui. By sukkah we know there is a din of tasav alay min ha'osui. It says in the Chumash, chag ha'sukkah tasav alay min ha'osui. So the pasuk pshat and the pasuk is that you should celebrate the holiday of sukkahs for the duration of 7 days. So the Gemara says that there's an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. You leave out the word chag meanwhile and you read sukkah tasav alay min ha'osui. You should construct the sukkah tasav alay min ha'osui and it should be shivas yamim, a sturdy sukkah that should be able to last the 7 days. And what should you make this schach from? The simple pshat and the pasuk is you should celebrate the holiday for the duration of 7 days at the ingathering season. That's the time of the year when you should observe the Yontav of Sukkot for 7 days. So Gemara, in the additional level of interpretation, understands Biasimcha means you should make the schach, you should construct the schach with psolas goren v'yekev, with the leftover. After you harvest everything, and then you squeeze out the grapes, and then you make wine, grape juice and wine, and then you squeeze out the olives, so the psolas goren v'yekev, the leftover stuff, is gedulei karka, and it's tolush, it was detached already, and it's dov sheni mekabel tumah. The grapes themselves and the olives themselves are mekabel tumah, so you can't use that for schach. But the psoldas garm v'yekev, that's b'os b'cham b'gonach ha-mikvech, as a reference to the psoldas garm v'yekev, so that's dov sheni mekabel tumah. So the Gemara establishes all of these three conditions that are necessary for hechshav haschach based on that posuk. And the word chag, how do you read the word chag? So the Gemara says chag is a description of the sukkah. Chag ha-sukkah is kishev shechal shem shamayim ala chagiga, kachal shem shamayim ala sukkah. What chag refers to the animal that's a korban chagiga, that it has a kedushas korban on it, has a status of hegdish. So chag ha-sukkah is hyphenated. According to this additional level of interpretation, according to the pshuto shel mikra, refers to the festival of sukkahs. According to the additional interpretation, the additional level of the pasuk, it refers to the construction of the sukkah, which is compared to a chag, which is compared to a korban chagiga, that just like chal shem shamayim ala chagiga, so too chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. So the Gemara raises the possibility. Gemara says maybe there are two, maybe it's a machlokes hatanan. According to the Tana Rab Yudah, who insists that lulav tzorach eged, would you declare that tasa ulam and ha'asa would be a psul in eged of the lulav? What do you mean tasa ulam and ha'asa in the eged of the lulav? Means, let's say you take such a keshikel, it has a knot ready-made. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the sefer Agur Ba'alecha, that the container that you put in the Hadassim and Arabis is full of knots, so the whole thing is a knot. Then I, after the knot is made already, then I put the lulav in the middle, I put the Hadassim on the right side, I put the Arabis on the left side. So the kesher was in existence before I held the three meaning together. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yudah, who holds that lulav tzarech eged, there'll be a machlekes satanayim, whether tasa, there may be a machlekes satanayim within his opinion, whether tasa v'lam en ha'asei applies or not. Yeah, we paskin that lulav ein tzarech eged, so you can't discuss tasa v'lam en ha'asei. Unless you say that l'chatchila, that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. He thought that since the Gemara says l'chatchila lulav tzarech eged, and Rashi said the eged has to be whatever Rabbi Yudah says is li'kuvah, that's what we need l'chatchila. So Rashi says it has to be a kesher, gabi kesher. So the same should be regarding a tasav laminos. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that if you're going to use a keshikol and just slip in the hadasim, slip in the arabas, and slip in the lulav, then you won't be yotze l'chatchila of l'chatchila tzehira mitzvah to have an eged. He said the eged has to be tasav laminos. So he felt that if you use a keshikol, it kills the whole l'chatchila of lulav tzarech eged l'chatchila. That's not the commonly accepted opinion. The Marsham writes Beferish, the simple reading of the Gemara is against that. The simple reading of the Gemara, Daf Yud Aleph, in Sukkah is that if you hold the lulav ein tzarech eged, it's just needed l'chatchila, so there's no problem of tasav laminos. Yeah, there's another shaila. There's a famous Tosis in Gittin on Daf Mem Heh Beis. The Gemara says that a woman is potter from tefillin, so therefore a woman is possible for writing mezuzahs, even though women are mechuyev in the mitzvah mezuzah. But they're not kosher for ksibis hamezuzah, because you have in chumash dvar midarshan smuchim one pasuk next to another. So the one pasuk says okshat melos al adech v'hayra tatoiz bein enecha, and the next pasuk says achsavta hamezuzahs beisecha b'sharecha. So the Gemara says women who are not mechuyev in kshira satfilna, whoever is not a bar kshira is not a bar ksiba. So women cannot write mezuzah, even though they're mechuyev in the mitzvah mezuzah, they have to get a man to write the mezuzah for them. So most of the Rishonim understand the Gemara that it's only a local din in Hilchas Sefer Torah Tefillah and Mezuzah. The women are puzzled for Ksiva Sefer Torah Tefillah and Mezuzah. So Taisa's there in Gittin, Daf Mem Heh Amud Beis, that's where the Gemara has this Rasha, the Smuchas HaSmichas HaPsukim of Akshart Melos Al Yadecho of Saftam Al Mezuzah Beisecho B'Sharecho. So the Taisa's quotes Rabbi Natam that the din that a woman is not in a Beturis, therefore she can't do that mitzvah, applies also to tzitzis, that a woman is not mechuyev in tzitzis, it's a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So if a woman will tie the tzitzis on the beged, it'll be possible. And a woman is not mechuyev in the mitzvah of dalaminim, so if a woman will do the igud, the eged, of the dalaminim, it'll be possible. So that's the question, what do you mean possible? We're tasking lulav ein tzarech eged. If you don't have any Eged at all, there's no problem. So the Rabbein Tam probably only means it within Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Luv Tzarech Eged Likuva. So if you're going to have a woman tie the Eged, you're not Yetzer. But the way we pass on Halacha, it's only the Hidah Mitzvah. Why should that be a problem? Unless you're going to say no. That even according to the Rabbanon, Lechatchila, Lulu Tzarech Eged, whatever Rabbi Yehuda would say is Makir B'nei Yevet, so we'll say it's Lechatchila you have to have. So if a woman will do the Eged, so it'll be possible Lechatchila, you won't be Yetzer the Mitzvah Min Amufa. It's hard to say like that. But the problem is the Magen Avraham quotes this thesis. He says, thesis quotes Rabbi Natam that a woman shouldn't tie the lulav together. Here in the neighborhood, for many years, the Bnei Akiva used to sell the aluminium. So they had men doing everything except for tying. The tying was done by a girl. But she finally got married, she moved to Pennsylvania, so she doesn't do the tying anymore. Used to be the sister of one of the boys in my shiur. We assume it's only Taisis only. I leave it Rabbi Yehuda. Trying to Rabbi Yehuda, the lulav tzarech eged. So then, if a woman's going to do the eged, then the Rabbi Natam holds that it's no good. The Talmidim of Rashi quote in the name of Rashi that when you put in the hadasim and aravos, you have to be careful to see to it that the hadasim should be higher than the aravos. Usually, that's not the case. Usually, the aravos are longer. So usually, you have everything on the bottom. The lulav, the hadasim, and the arav is starting from the table. And everything goes up, and usually the aravos are much taller. So they quote in the name of Rashi that you're not even yotze b'dieved if the aravos are standing higher than the hadas. Very hard to understand. How can you say you're not yotze b'dieved? It's very difficult. There is a Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is a lulav tzarech eged. If they're not tied up together, hadas and the arav is not tied up at the lulav, you're not yotze. So we don't pass on like that. So does that mean that you can even pick up one after the other after the other? Pick up an esrog, put it down. Pick up a lulav, put it down. Or no, you have to hold all four bevasachas, but they don't have to be tied up together. So that's a machlokes Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos' opinion is a menachas on the Mishnah that it says in the Mishnah in the middle of menachas there that dal minim shabalulav mak mezezeh. The Tosfos says we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that lulav tzarech eged, but you still have to have one netilah bevasachas. You have to pick up all four at the same time. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam that even if you pick up the Zeh HaZeh, you're also the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, you can pick up the Zeh HaZeh. So how in the world can anybody in his right mind say that if you hold them together, the Hadassim and the Aravos are taller than the Hadassim, you're not Yotze B'dieved? How can that be? If you can pick up the Zeh HaZeh, how can it be worse if you pick up together and the Aravos are higher? Very shvei. How are you supposed to remember which is supposed to be higher, which is supposed to be lower? It's just arbitrary. How is that? So they give you a simon in the Shulchan Aruch how to remember, because the aravos are lip shape, and hadasim are the shapes of the eyes, and the eyes are higher than the lips. So that's the way to remember. Okay, why in the world should it be possible by the Evid? Why should it be? That doesn't make any sense. So there's a sefer Chaim Avroch and the Mishmer Shalom. One of the rabbanim in Europe wrote a commentary on the Prima Godim on Yeridaya. Prima Godim is a commentary on the Shach and the Taz in Yeriday. So Prima Godim writes very very terse. He always writes Bekitzer. And he always tells you, look over there, what I wrote over there, look over there, look over there. You go around in a full circle. He tells you always to look somewhere else. So this Adam Godel, one of the Rabbanim, 100 years ago, wrote a whole commentary on the Prima Godim. Unfortunately, hardly anybody learns the Prima Godim today. So no one looks in the Mishmer Rishon. Mishmer Rishon is a chibur on the Prima Godim. So the same author of the Mishmer Rishon wrote two svarim that were alphabetically arranged on halacha topics. One is on Hilchas Avelus. He has all of Hilchas Avelus alphabetically arranged. They can find the Shaila 1, 2, 3. That's called Chaim Avrach LeMishmer Rishon. And he has the same Chaim Avrach LeMishmer Rishon on the Hilchas Dalad Minim. He writes in the introduction to the Sefer, he says, Sukkah has come so soon after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and the Rabbanim don't have a chance to look up the Dinim, because they're busy. Every rabbi in the Kehillah has some balabatim, have a shayla, whether they're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, so they're busy all day long, and then they're busy with the Sukkahs, they have no time to spend on the Dalad Minim. So then when they get a shayla, they get stuck. So he wanted to offer this service to everyone, so he put all of Hilchot Dalad Minim in his sefer alphabetically arranged. A very good sefer. Everybody quotes from the sefer. The Chaim Avraham and the Mishmer Hashom. So he quotes, he has he'oris from the Marsham. He was a contemporary of the Marsham. He gave a haskama to the sefer. So the Marsham says, it's wild, this Rashi. We don't understand. How can there be such a thing? If you have the Arabis a higher, how can it be it's possible? He says, Al Derech Hadrash, he can explain it a little bit, but you can't paskin a din based on Al Derech Hadrash, that Hadassim is supposed to represent Tzadikim. Hadassah, Esther, is her name is Hadassah, and there's a Nevuah in Zechariah. With the horses, Rashi writes on Zechariah that Zechariah is the most unclear Navi from all the Divrei HaNavim. The first Rashi on Zechariah writes. So one of the Nevuahs he has is that the horse, he's riding horseback through the Hadassim. So the Medrash says the Hadassim represents the Tzadikim. So if Hadassim represents Tzadikim, and Aravis, according to the Medrash, represents something that has no Tam and no Reach. The Esrik has a Tam and a Reach. And the Lulav has a Tam and it doesn't have a Reach. The Lulav has a Tamorim. And the Aravis, the Hadassim have a Reach and they have no Tam. And the Aravis have no Tam and no Reach. So the Aravis represent a person who's not religious, a Rasha. So you can understand a little bit maybe why if they have the Rav is higher than the Hadassim, means the Rishoyim are controlling the world. The Rishoyim are on top and the Tzaddikim are on the bottom. So you're not Yotze even B'dievet. Maybe for a sermon it's good, but Al-Pi Aloch, he doesn't understand how you can say such a thing. But L'chatchil, you should be careful. Look, if Rashi holds it, Apostles B'dievet. So for sure we should be careful L'chatchil. Then the Gemara says also another thing. The Mishnah says in Sukkah, the Lulav has to be Dalet Tvachim Tuol. And the Hadassim and the Aravis have to be three Tvachim tall. Why does the Lulav have to be a Tefach taller? It has to be Gimel Tvachim, the same size as the Hadassim and the Aravis, and an extra Tefach Kedei L'Naneya. So you see from the Mishnah that Ninua of the Lulav, to shake the Lulav, is at least a Lachatchila Derais. It's not Miyakib, it's Yevin. If a person picked up the Lulav and he didn't shake it, he didn't do the Ninua. So the Gemara says, Meda'ag Bein, Ofeg Bein. The Gemara says, when you pick it up, you're Yotzei ready. Even without doing Ninuah. So it's clear that the Ninuah is not Miyakib B'dievet. But in mitzvahs, the other day we were discussing the Tosis in the end of Nida, Tosis on Dav Samach Vav on the base, I think, but Tosis writes in Nida that it makes sense to require Lachatchila Deraisa in mitzvahs. In Isurim, it doesn't make sense to have a Lachatchila. Lachatchila, it's also B'dievet, it's Mutta. If it's Mutta B'dievet, it's Mutta Lachatchila. It doesn't make sense to have a Lachatchila in Anisa V'heter. You have then again lechatchila is the rabbanon. You have a macholas asuris, but the rabbanon is also lechatchila. But the yevet it's mutter. But in mitzvahs it makes good sense to say lechatchila. The mitzvah b'shlei musa is to do things like this, and but the yevet if you didn't do it like that, so you would say the mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa. So here, like we have over here, there's a lechatchila deraisa lulav tzarachega. That's how the Gemara says. So the Gemara seems to imply that's all the achronim point that the Gemara seems to imply that ninua of the dalan ninim is a lechatchila deraisa. So that's why the lulav has to be a tefach taller than the hadassim and the aravis. And when you do the ninua, so it should be noticeable on the top of the lulav. It should protrude a tefach above. So that's what the Gemara seems to say b'feirish. It's not sufficient that the lulav is four tefachim. If you have the hadassim and the aravis are often also four tefachim, everything is the same four tefachim, or let's say the Hadassim and the Aravis are only three tefachim, but you tie them up in such a way that you have the bottom tefach of the lulav has nothing there. You don't have the Hadassim and the Aravis there. The Hadassim and the Aravis are tied on a higher spot than the lulav, and everything comes to the tip on top. So the lulav does not protrude a tefach above the Hadassim and the Aravis. So the Gemara says that it's not proper. The Gemara says you have to arrange your Hadassim and the Aravis in such a way that the lulav, or the shedra of the lulav, the Gemara has two versions, where Machmer, the shedra of the lulav should protrude a tefach above the top of the hadassim, which is supposed to protrude slightly above the top of the aravis. The shedra of the lulav is the hard part. When you come to the top of the lulav, the shedra disappears. There's no more shedra. So you have to have the hard part of the lulav in the middle, the center part, where everything is one. That shedra has to, you have to have a tefach of a shedra protruding above the top of the hadassim, which in turn is supposed to protrude slightly above the top of the aravis. A lot of people don't know these dinim, so they violate this din. At least lechatchila should be like that. Yeah, the din is at lechatchila, the mitzvah min amuvches, to do ninuim in the middle of halel. That's why many people have the practice that they'll say the bracha and the dal minim immediately before halel. Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Arizal that you should bench Esrog in the sukkah. So the Hasidim, a lot of Hasidim sleep in the house. And then when they wake up in the morning, first thing they run out into the sukkah, the Bench Esther. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks, he writes, he doesn't think that's what it means. He means the first thing itself understood, you're sleeping in the sukkah. That Rizal slept in the sukkah. So the first thing you do in the morning, you wash the Tilus Yadayim, and you Bench Esther in the sukkah, because he's sleeping in the sukkah. Not you should sleep at home, and then you should go into the sukkah. Like some Hasidim, I remember, the Bava Hasidim, so they daven Shachris and Shul. And then everybody has to Bench Esrig on the Rebbe's Esrig and Lulav. So they and the Rebbe goes to the Sukkah in between Shachris and Hallel. The Chazan didn't say Kaddish Tiskabel yet. They finished Shachris. So the Rebbe, before they say Kaddish, before they say any Kaddish, everybody walks into the Sukkah. And the Rebbe benches Esrig. And then all the Chassidim stand in line. And it takes an hour. Everybody has to get the Rebbe's Esrig and Lulav. And Matana Manas Latzav and the Rebbe. And the first 2 days of Sukkah, this year the first day of Shabbos, it's only going to be the second day. Of course, that's what it says. The Arizal used to bench Esrig in the Sukkah. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks it doesn't mean that, to walk into the Sukkah in between Shachris and Hallel. It means the first thing in the morning when you're in your pajamas. So you wash until time. First thing you do is you do a mitzvah. You say the bracha netilas lu. So that's what the Hasidim do. They'll walk into the Sukkah dafka in order to bench Esrig. The Gemara says the first day you need shalachem. So the Gemara says there's a problem. If you give the lulav to a cotton, the cotton before bar mitzvah can be koine, but it can't be makna away. So if he's going to be yotze, if you're going to give it to him, you shouldn't give him a lulav b'she'elo. You give him a she'elo, so you're not yotze the mitzvah. When you want to be mechanach the child, you should be mechanach him, that he should do the mitzvah in a fashion that he's going to be yotze the mitzvah. So you have to give it to him b'matana, matana manas l'hachzir. So that's a shaila. The Gemara says, if you give to a katan b'matana, he can be cut, if he can't be makna back, so then the adults won't be able to be out to the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, you got to give it to the katan last. So the question is, how does that help by us? We need shalachem on the second day also. We just said the Mishnah Berurah quoted the Bikur Yankov, it pointed out that the Mechaber Paskin Beferish, that you need shalachem on the second day. If you need shalachem on the second day, how can you give it to the child last on the first day? So how am I going to have shalachem on the second day? So Rab Shlomo Kluger, I think, has this in the Tuf Tamadas in his Chuvas. He says the second day you only need shalachem at the Rabbanon. And the cotton can be makna mid rabbanon. The whole problem is on the first day you need shalachem in atayrim. So the second day you only need shalachem mid rabbanon. So with respect to the din the rabbanon that you need shalachem in the second day, so the cotton can be makna ready to the god. The cotton can be makna with higi aloinus aputas. That's his charifus. I remember once I used to visit Rabbi Schwab every year on Sukkot. So we used to talk and learn. So I remember once I told him over this kasha and teretz. So he was chuckling. So he said, "Das pasra abshlame kluga." This kind of a harifas that mimanam shach. On the level of the raisa, you don't need lulav at all. On the second, the level of rabbanon, you do need shalachem. So the cotton is able to be makna. That's called mimanam shach with the rabbanon. On the level of the raisa, there's no problem for one reason. On the level of the rabbanon, there's no problem for a different reason. That's a famous theme that Rabbi Yosef Engel has from 100 years ago. All the gedolim were writing about that. That's called mimanam shach the rabbanon. Okay, we got to say a few words about the mitzvah of sukkah. Sukkah is a machlokes satanai, whether the sukkah has to be diras keba, diras aroi. We paskin has to be dafke, diras aroi. If it's diras keba, it's no good. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, you hold that it has to be dafke, diras keba. If you have a diras aroi, it's no good. 98% of all the sukkahs are good. Just 1% of the sukkahs are absolutely diras keva, so we would paskin that it's no good. If the sukkah is lamala master mama, that's diras keva. So we paskin that's no good. And once in a while you have a sukkah that's absolutely diras aroi, so then Rabbi Yehuda would paskin that's no good. If you have a wobbly sukkah, it's a sukkah shetachas al sukkah, and the upper sukkah, this floor of the upper sukkah, is this chach of the lower sukkah. And when people sit on the upper sukkah, the whole floor is shaking, and he's afraid he's going to fall, but he doesn't fall. So that's on the Gemara says that's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, sukkah has to be diras keva. If it's aroi, is no good. 98% of the sukkahs are kosher l'chol adayis. Rabbi Yehuda holds their kosher because we declare the 98% are all diras keva, and we pass kenfraket. We declare the 98% are good because we declare that they're all diras aroi. It's a very interesting thing. The Gemara never points it out. But that's the Aruch Laner on the first daf in Sukkah points that out. That 98% of the Sukkahs are kosher l'chol ha'deis, late Rabbi Yehuda because we declare that they are diras keva, and late Rabbanim because we declare that they're really diras aroi. What's an afkamina halacha l'maisa? Yeah, the 1% this direction, 1% that direction. What has another nafkamina menachas? Are you obligated to put up a mezuzah on the sukkah? Because the din is by mezuzah, you're only chayv in mezuzah if it's a diras keva. So according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a sukkah has to be a diras keva, so sukkah sachag b'chag is chayev is bin mezuzah. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that a sukkah is diras aroi, therefore there's no chayev mezuzah on a sukkah. Also, we paskin halacha l'maisa that the minimum size for the sukkah is zayin al zayin tefachim. The Gemara in the sukkah Dav Gimel has Gimel Amar Aleph, a whole list of dinim where a bayis has to have a minimum size of dalar al dalar amas. In order to be chayev in mezuzah, you need dalar al dalar amas. Mihu yishu shabon a bayis v'loch hanocho yelach v'yashav lebeiso. Only if the bayis has dalar al dalar amas. Or other dinim deraisa, the din of makeh, many Gemara has a whole list of dinim deraisa, dinim derabbanan. All the dinim of bayis all depend on diras keva. The diras keva requires a minimum size of a dalar amis. But the Gemara says because sukkah is a diras aroi, that's how there were tanoim who said that a sukkah has to be minimum size of a dalar amis. But we paskin against the Reb Yehuda. We paskin the sukkah has to dafke be diras aroi. Diras keva is no good. So we're not going to pasal a sukkah because it's more than dalar amis or dalar amis. We'll declare it's still called the diras aroi, but we allow a sukkah that's only zayin al zayin tefachim because we paskin that a sukkah is a diras aroi. Yeah, we mentioned before the pasuk that in order to be kosher l'schach, you have to have the three conditions: it has to be gedulei karka, it has to be tolush, and it has to be davashenu mekabel tuma. So that's the mishnah. If you build a sukkah tachasu ilon, so that's not acceptable. Kilo asav b'toch habayis. The mishnah says no good because the ilon is mechuber. What if I built my sukkah tachasu ilon and then I cut off the branches? So let's say when I built my sukkah, the branches were resting on top of the tfanis of the sukkah. And then when I cut off the branches, they don't fall down. They're sitting on top of the tfanis of the sukkah. They've been sitting on top of the tfanis before, but they were puzzled because they were mechubah, and now I detached it. So now it's not mechubah. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara. Do you say kitzitzoso zuhi yasa yasa or not? We paskin, you don't say kitzitzoso zuhi yasa yasa. So we paskin, I built my sukkah tachas ilon, and then I detached the branches. That's a psul of tasav lamanasa. So you have to pick up every single branch and put it down again. That's in Shulchan Aruch like that. You have to pick up every branch and put it down. Yeah, what's the din if you have, let's say, gedulei karka? Let's say I have cotton grows on a bush. Or a pishton, flax, grows on a bush. So let's say I'll take some hemp. Hemp grows on a bush. And they make the thick cord. They tie up parcel post packages with this brown thick cord. That's gedulei karka, grows from the ground. And then sometimes you have wool. Sometimes you have woolen string. So woolen string is not gedulei karka. So that's a pasul mana Torah l'sachich. But what if you have cord or thread that grew from the ground? But it doesn't, it's not in its original state. It's nishtana. If a ganav would have stolen it, and he would make it into string, that would be, the ganav would be kind of b'shinui. It's a parim chadosh is bo l'kan. So there is a gemara at the end of the first parak in Sukkah where the gemara talks about using string. So Rashi and Tosis interpreted in the Gemara that the reason, the Gemara says no good, you cannot use string. So Rashi and Tosis learned the reason why you cannot use string is because if the string is tzemer, so it's not gedulei karka, there's nothing to discuss. If the string is pishton, the Gemara happens to be talking about pishton string. If it's string or pishton, it's mekabel tumas tzaras begodim. Beged tzemer or beged pishtim, either a beged tzemer, beged pishtim is mekabel tuma, or a spool of thread of Tzemer HaPishtim is also Mekabel Tum. That's how Rashi and Tosis learn. The Rambam does not read the Gemara like that. The Pnei Yeshua has a whole argument why he's not happy with that Tosis, with Rashi and Tosis. Dover HaMekabel Tum is no good for Schaf. Dover HaMekabel Tum means if I'm Tomei, I can transmit the Tumah to Od, Mekelem, Okhlem, and Mashkim. There are four things, four categories of things that are Mekabel Tum. When you have a Tumah Saras Begodim, it's not that it's mekabel tumah mi bachutz, not that I don't touch it. It develops a nega tzaras. So that's not called kabbalas tumah. It becomes tumah. It is tumah. It's not receiving tumah mi bachutz, and not that it's becoming contaminated. No one's transmitting tuma to it. It becomes a dover tummy. So that's where the penishua taina is. That that's not really called a dover hamakabel tuma. We have another thing like that. There's a din that a goylo v'doifek is metami. Let's say if you bury someone, so and then you make a matzeva. So the Rabbi Natam learns that the goylo v'doifek means a matzeva. Or Rashi learns that the goylo v'doifek means the boards on the side, on either side of the coffin, and the lid of the coffin. So the Mishnah says that a goylo v'doifek is metami, whatever material it's made from, even from synthetic material, whatever it is, it has a tumas goylo v'doifek. So you're going to say that everything doesn't have to have any specific tzura, any shape. So you're going to say that anything in the world, any branch in the world can serve as a goylo v'doifek. The Mishnah says a goylo v'doifek is metami, whatever material it's made from. So you should parcel everything up for schach, because anything can be mekabel tumah as a goylo v'doifek. So Pnei Yeshua writes in the end of the first parak in Sukkah, in that Gemara, that's not a kasha, that's not called dover hamekabel tumah. If you used an item, if you used branches, twigs, boards, as a goylo v'doifek for a mace, for a kever, so it is tumah. It's not that it's a dover hamekabel tumah. No one is transmitting tumah to it. Not that the mace is aviyah v'isa tumah, and the mace is metami the goylo v'doifek. Whatever is serving as goylo v'doifek becomes tumah. So he argues that he thinks that's his taina against Rashi and Tosfos. How can you say that a spool of thread that's pishtim, a spool of thread of pishtim is considered dov ha-makabel tumah? That's why it's no good to use for schach. That's not called makabel tumah. It doesn't receive tumah b'pachut. If it develops a negatzaras, it will be tumah, but it's not called makabel tumah. So that's why he's not happy with Rashi and Tosfos Shah. Penishu always has his gives his opinion. He's not afraid to argue with the Rishon. So the Rambam has a different pshat on that Gemara. That's the Rambam's pshat is a pshat that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch. Chava very often quotes Rambams. So the Rambam learns pshat on that Gemara that if you took flax that grows on a bush, or if you took hemp, or you took anything that grows on a bush, and you made thread out of it, that's nishtana. So since it's nishtana, it doesn't look like you do like karka. It's a panam chadash is ba'olakan. So that's possible sachek boim in the rabbanim. If you have a schach that's koshim in a Torah, but it's nishtane, that's possible sachek boim in the rabbanim. That's even a deal in the Shari Tshuva, printed next to the Behetiv, is not sure. What if you have slats of wood? That's gedulah karka tola sheni mekabel tumah, everything is fine, and you painted it a different color. Let's say you want to paint it with a little shellac in the paint in order to protect it from getting warped by the rain. If it rains on you, it's wooden schach, so the wood is going to get ruined. So some people want to protect their schach, so you paint it. So that's a shaila. If a ganef would steal slats of wood and he would paint it, the Mishnah is that tzavoi is considered a shinui. So the ganef would be kind of a shinui. So, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam over here that if you took gedule karka and you made it into string, that's considered a shinui. The shinui is considered a panim chadoshes, and it's possible the sachach by midir rabbanon. It's midirabbana, we treat it as if it's no longer called gedule karka. So that's even a deal. Not only if you made string out of it, made thread out of it, maybe even if you painted it, maybe it'll also be a psul. That's a deal, whether that's correct or not. There's a mishnah in the second parak in Sukkah where there's a machlokes rabbeinu and the chachamim, something about hasamis l'kosa b'kari hamita. A person builds a whole sukkah, and the sach is being supported by the headboards. By his bed, has a headboard and a footboard, and he puts schach on top. When I was growing up, I remember a lot of beds were like that. They had a headboard and a board on the bottom. So I haven't seen it in recent years. Maybe they still make it like that. I don't know. So what if the schach is supported by bed? So that's a machlekes satanim. So what exactly is the machlekes satanim? So the Gemara has different pshatim. So one pshat, the simple pshat the Gemara gives is that this is the old machlekes of Yudan Rabbanon from the first Mishnah and Sukkah, where the Sukkah Lamali Meser Mama is possible on that. We paskin it's possible because it's Diras Keva. And on a Sukkah Lamali Meser Mama is very, very tall. Very tall. Meser Mama is very tall. So that's going to have to be a Diras Keva. So that's why we paskin possible. Rabbi Yudan says, Adarabbe, the Sukkah is supposed to be a Diras Keva. So Rabbi Yudan Lishitosa would possible if you have some Sukkah Bekari Amito. You have a bed is supporting the schach. So the Rabbi Yudah holds that that's a diras aroi. That's no good. And the Rabbanon holds there's nothing wrong with a diras aroi. The sukkah is supposed to be diras aroi. So that's the pasha pshat. It's Rabbi Yudah l'shitasa and the Rabbanon l'shitasa. And the Mele, we know we don't pass like Rabbi Yudah. Then the Gemara suggests another interpretation that that's not the machlekes, whether it's sukkah deiras arad deiras keva. That's a machlekes on the first Mishnah about lamana meser mama. The Gemara says maybe here's a different machlekes. What's the shaila? Mamid. What's the problem with mamid? The kari hamito, the legs of the bed, the headboard with the footboard is a davar hamakabel tumah. A bed is a kli. So as a kli is makabel tumah. So davar hamakabel tumah is no good to use for schach ben atorah. So maybe there's a gzera derabanan, that's how we assume the Shulchan Aruch. They run on the riflans like that. Maybe there's a gzera derabanan, that you're not allowed to be mamid the schach ben davar hamakabel tumah. Gzera shema, or use the davar hamakabel tumah itself as the schach. Davar hamakabel tumah is pasul ben atorah for schach. So even if you learn that shot, that it's a machlokes whether mamid, if you're mamid the schach pasul, mamid the schach bedov hamakabel tumim, still it then should be like the rabbanon the rabbuda. Yochid v'rab malach gram, we should pass like the rabbanon, that there's nothing wrong with mamid. So there is a minority opinion that holds that the pshat in the Mishnah is that the machlokes is by mamid, and that we pass like rabbuda. So in Shulchan Aruch there's a stira. In one place it says there's no problem of mamid, the dinam of Hechshe schach has to be gedule kark and tovish and dovish eni bekabotuma only applies to the schach, doesn't apply to the dovah hamamid. In another place, the Mechaber says that you should be careful not to have mamid. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes all the Achrayim say, so stira the Mechaber, are you worried about mamid or not? So he says, the answer is that because there is such a minority opinion that paschans like Rabbi Yudah, the Shita Sayochad of Rabbi Yudah, that mamid passels the schach, so lechatchili should avoid it, but the Mikir Adin, the whole thing is really good. The whole thing is only a chumrah to begin with. Not to be mamid the schach, the kosher schach, on pasul schach, zereshem yisach echbar. A lot of times people build the sukkah in between buildings. So they have the schach resting on the bricks of the building. So the bricks are no good ben atorah to serve as schach. The bricks are not gedule karka, the bricks are karka mamish. So you should say all the sukkahs where the schach rests on the bricks of the building should all be pasul. Everybody does that. You can't pass a lot of sukkah, said the Ramon. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ran on the Rif. The Ran says, nah, come on, the whole topic of Mamid is only a discussion on the level of the Rabbanon, Akzera the Rabbanon, not like Rashi. Rashi on the Gemara sounds as if he holds that the Rabbi Yudah Shita, that Mamid is Pasul, if you're Mamid, Bischach Pasul, Asamach Sukkasa Bikari Hamita is no good. So Rashi sounds like he holds that it's a Dinda Raisa according to Rabbi Yudah. That the ikar of the schach is the thing that supports the schach. Without the kari amita, the schach wouldn't be standing up in the air, wouldn't be meitzel, wouldn't be causing tzel. So Rashi sounds like he learns in the Gemara that it's an issue deraisa. So we don't accept that Rashi. Maybe Rashi never meant it, but even if he did mean it, we don't accept that Rashi. We learn like the Ran that the whole issue of mamid that the Gemara says is the machlekes abir and rabbanon. The whole topic of mamid is only an issue derabbanon to begin with. So the Ran writes, everybody knows you don't make schach from bricks. That's a dover pashut like that. So that they're not going to make a gzera de rabbanon, that you shouldn't have bricks to be mamid the schach. That's kosher lahatchila. That doesn't pose a problem. But if you have, let's say, a metal frame for the schach, metal frame to hold the whole sukkah and to hold the schach, and then the schach is resting on the metal frame on top, that's a shayla mamid. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that lahatchila you shouldn't do that. If you're visiting by someone and that's the kind of schulkah they have, you don't have to give them a heart attack. The din is that it's kosher. Lechatchila. It's a midas chasidus to avoid mamid.
And wooden frames around it, you know?
So then the Magen Avraham quotes from the Ramban in the Melchamis that mamid is no good, but mamid the mamid is okay. Mamid the mamid is okay. What's an example of mamid the mamid? So let's say, for example, I have a wooden sukkah, all the walls are wooden, and wooden panels, and then I have wooden beams that go across to hold the schach on top, and the wooden beams are nailed down with nails. So the nails are not gedule karka, nails are metal, that's karka mamish, it's not gedule karka. So that's mamid de mamid. The wooden nails are holding up, are holding the beams in place, which in turn are holding up the schach. Since the schach is held up by the wooden planks, so that's not, there's no problem on mamid, that's mamid the mamid. So that's the pashup shah. So the Magen Avraham has this chiddush. He says if you have a metal frame and you want to put schach on top, so if you're going to put the schach directly on top, so that's mamid. So that's the chumrah that we recommend you shouldn't do mamid. Meikar Adin is really kosher, and we're machmir not to do mamid. So he says, make it into mamet to mamet, no problem. Take, let's say this is my, the top of the table is the top of the sukkah, and it's a four metal bars like this. So he says, take one wooden beam and put it over here. Put four wooden beams on top of the four metal things, and now the metal frame is holding up the four wooden beams. And now the four wooden beams are going to be holding up the schach. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham, who says that that's mamet d'mamet. So that's okay. So people have been doing that for a few centuries, until the Chazon Ish came. So the Chazon Ish says, how is all kind of baloney? That's not mamet d'mamet. He says, so if you have fixed schach, let's say 3 inches thick, to say the top inch and a half is schach, and the bottom inch and a half is mamet d'schach. So always divide the schach in half and say it's mamet d'mamet. He says the four wooden beams together with all the schach that you have on top, the twigs and whatever you have, the whole thing is all schach. Everything is schach. So all the schach is resting on the metal frame. So he tied it, that's not called mamet d'mamet. Mamet d'mamet is like the Shulchan Aruch gave the case. You have wooden beams that are supporting the schach, and you have nails supporting the wooden beams. The nails are not holding up the schach. The nails are holding up the wooden beams, which in turn are holding up the schach. But here, if you have a metal frame, so the end of the day, the metal frame is supporting all the schach. He says, Mikra Din, the sukkah is good. There's nothing wrong. But he says, if you're interested in observing the chumrah that the Shulchan Aruch recommended to avoid mamet, so you don't accomplish anything by putting, he claims, you don't accomplish anything by putting the four wooden beams on the four metal bars.
Didn't the Chazon Ish ask for nails also? Didn't the Chazon Ish prohibit using nails as part of the
nails to hold the wooden beams? I'm not familiar. This I don't know. Got to look inside the Chazon Ish. I don't know. So most people are mekel and some are choshish for the Chazon Ish. Yeah. There are different opinions in the Rishonim, so it's many Amahadir that a lot of people build a sukkah with a roof on top. So when it rains, they take the roof down to protect the sukkah. Otherwise, the sukkah is going to get so wet, so for the next 10 hours after it stops raining, also you won't be able to sit in the sukkah. It'll be teshuv. It'll be mitzvah. It'll be a violation of teshuv came to do it. So many Rishonim Amachmer that you should put the schach on top of the sukkah at the time that the gag is open to the sky. Because if you're going to put the schach on top of the sukkah at the time that you have the roof on top, so at the time of placing the schach is possible, so that'll be a violation of tasav leminos. That's a machlokes. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that it is okay. And the later Achrayim recommend you should be choshes for those rishonim. There are some who are of the opinion that when you have a sukkah and you put the shlak down, you put the roof down on top, then you open up the roof, so you just parceled the sukkah. When you open up the roof, you have to pick up every single piece of schach. That is always going to be a violation of tasav leminos. So that, the minhag olam is lahakel on that. We're not machmer on that. But many are machmer that when you place the schach on the first place, on top of the tfanos, it should be open on top. If when you place the schach, it's already, the roof is already on top, so many are of the opinion that that is a violation of tasav leminos. Okay. So many are machmana. Does the schach have to be placed lishmo? Asiyas hasukkah, there's a din of tasav lemon osay. So that only applies to the schach, tasav lemon, doesn't apply to the tfanas. That's how the Gemara says. The word sukkah refers to the schach, the thing that gives the shade. The tfanas don't have to be tzilos amirub mechamosa. There's one opinion in the Gemara that you need tzilos amirub mechamosa on the tfanas, and one tana holds like that in the Braisa, and we don't pass like that. The only paskin that the schach has to be tzilos amirub mechamosa. So all the dinim of sukkah only apply to the schach. The hechsher sukkah, everything applies to the schach. So the question is, do you need asiyah lishmo when you place the schach on top of the tefanos? Does it have to be put l'shem mitzvah sukkah? What if a nochri puts up the schach? A nochri doesn't have the mitzvah of sukkah, so he cannot create lishmo. So that's a machlekes hatanaim b'shamay and b'silul. Mishnah and Daftesim and Aleph said, Bishamay are of the opinion that a sukkah has to be, the schach has to be placed lishmo. And needless to say, we don't pass like Bishamay, we pass like Basilu. So the Gemara says that there are 8 sukkahs that are good despite the fact that they were not put up l'shem mitzvah, as long as they were put up l'shem tzel. And the Gemara has the Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah is Gamvach and Rakvash. Sukkah is Gamvach has nothing to do with a Ganef. Sukkah is Gamvach has the Rosh Hashanah is Goyim and Noshim and I forgot who the other, Borgenin and Kusim. Okay. All of these eight sukkahs were not put up l'shem mitzvah. As long as they put up l'shem tzeil, that's okay. The Avnei Nezer has a discussion, but it has to be l'shem tzeil. So he has a shaila, what if a katan before bar mitzvah? He said a katan is a lab bar da, so a katan can't create the shema in gittin. We're machna that a katan cannot write a get, because whoever is a lab bar da is cannot al pidin, cannot think l'shema. He's a brilliant child, he knows that there's a mitzvah of a sukkah, but al pidin cannot think l'shema. So the Avnei Nezer has a discussion. Can the cotton is mufka from thinking lishma for the same mitzvah? But we paskin, you don't need the same mitzvah, but you need the same tzeil. You say a cotton can't even be mechaben the same tzeil? Oh, no, it's obvious. He's making a hut. The kid is making a house on top of a tree house, and he's putting on a roof in order to sit in the shade. So the same tzeil he is able to do. So that's his adiyun and avneinez. Can you allow a cotton to put up this stuff? Here in Yeshiva every year there's always an Esek because housekeeping always has the Nochem put up the Schach and then Moshe the plumber always takes it down and puts it up again. That's because Tosfos quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi that Bavli says according to Basil you don't need Lishma, period. That's the end of the story. But Tosfos on Testament Aleph quotes the Yerushalmi says the Machlok is Bisham and Basil only is how much you need Lishma. Bisham holds you need Lishma on every stitch of Schach. You have to put it l'shma. Bisil will say, if you put a little bit of tefach al tefach, or mashu al pnei kula, put a little bit l'shma, that's sufficient. But if the Nachum put up the hoschach, then according to the Rishalmi, even Bisil would say that it's no good. So that's a big deal in Shulchan Aruch when they quote this Tosfos b'shem HaRishalmi. It's clearly not the way it says in the Bavli. So that's a question, even what did the Rishalmi mean to say? Rishalmi meant to say, taka, that according to Bisil, the sukkah is possible but the evet. If the Nachum put it up, it's possible but the evet. I remember once on Sukkot, the chazan from the local conservative synagogue came to my father with a shaila that the sukkah fell down, the shul sukkah fell down by the conservative temple, and the nochri put it back up, the super put it back up, and they got a new rabbi there. They used to have an old rabbi, he was a nice guy. He was a conservative shul, but he was a nice fellow. And the new rabbi was a real shegetz. So the chazan wanted to show all the balabatim what a shegetz the new rabbi was, that he does know enough at a din of Shulchan Aruch, that he allowed the super to put the schach back up, and that's no good. So he came, he asked my father. So my father asked, where is the sukkah? So he tells me the sukkah is on the bima, in the shul, under the roof. So my father said, there's nothing to discuss, the whole thing is possible anyway. So the chazan, that's what they used to do, they had a sukkah, and the chazan would say kiddush. At the end of Myra, Chazim would say Kiddush, and if they're Muslim, Chazim would say Kiddush in the Sukkah, and everybody would be Yotzeh the Mitzvah Sukkah. So my father said, the Sukkah is no good anyway because it's Tachas Abai. So the Chazim said, well, let's forget about that for the meanwhile. What if a guy puts up this Chazim? So my father said, it's a din that it's good. The Gemara says, Sukkah is Gambach, is good. Couldn't believe it. He thought for sure the rabbi was a sheikh. So here is the Shaila. We have this Chumrah of Mamid. Shulchan Aruch recommends astira in Shulchan Aruch. So l'chatchila, we recommend one should observe this chumrah of mamid, not to have the schach supported by anything, let's say by the metal bars, by the metal frame of the sukkah. So metal is pasul l'sachich bo min ator because it's karka mamish, not called gedule karka. What if you have this schach is supported by something which itself is only pasul midirabbanim? Let's say you have a clothesline. A person has a clothesline, so the different kinds of clothesline that you hang up clothes. So sometimes the thing is made from plastic, which is synthetic material, it's not gedule karka, and inside the plastic you have a metal wire. So that's karka mamish. So the metal is karka, it's not gedule karka, and the plastic is synthetic, it's not gedule karka. So that kind of a clothesline is pasul min ator. Sometimes you have a clothesline that's really gedule karka, but it's just nishtana. So according to the Rambam, it's only pasul min derabbanan. So some people have a hechetimsa like that. They have a sukkah. They have a sukkah. And the schach is being supported by a clothesline that they have on top. So is that called mamid? Does that have the problem of mamid or not? So this is a stira in the Mishnah Brura, just four or five pages apart from each other, both in Hilchas Sukkah. One place he says that is no good. It's mamid, mischach, pasul, no good. The other place he says, no, that's a gzeira l'gzeira. The whole reason why Mamed is no good, we follow the Ran, is only Exer the Rabbanon. If you hold Mamed is no good, if you hold like that Tana Reb Yehuda, the Mamed is not acceptable, there's only Exer the Rabbanon to begin with. And if the whole Schach Pasal itself is only Pasal with the Rabbanon, the whole thing is only, it's Gedula Karka Shenishtanu, so you're making Exer L'Exera. Even if the whole Schach, you would use this hemp, you would use this cotton wire, Minatar the Sukkah would be good. So you're supporting the schach with the cotton string. Mamid the schach pasam in the rabbanon. So some achrayim say that that's a gzera l'gzera, and that's not a problem. Al pi pashtus, the way we were discussing gzera l'gzera when we spoke about the taz, that chicken is only basa b'chol of the rabbanon, and kavish kibushel is only the rabbanon. So what are you going to say if you have chicken soaking in milk for 24 hours? You can eat it. So that's what the dogma of Adam makes fun of the Taz and Simit Tzadik and Yeridei and Hilchas Basa B'cholov. So of course it's awesome. So why is it Taka awesome? So we explained that's a trade derabbanon. That's not Exer L'Exer. Chicken was Nigzer as Exer derabbanon, not to Basa. And Kavish Kemavushal was Nigzer as Exer derabbanon, not to Bishul. Neither Exer was instituted to prevent people from violating Adin derabbanon. Each Exer was out to Adin derabbanon. So they happened to combine over here. That's a trade the rabbani. You can't call it exera l'exera. So here also the truth of the matter is that this is not really exera l'exera. They made it then you shouldn't be mamid the schach posel lest you'll make a mistake and use the schach posel itself, the sachich. But then they made it then the rabbani, you're not allowed to use string. Adobish and ishtana, you're not allowed to use for schach. It happens that here you're combining two exeras to rabbani. So strictly speaking, really shouldn't be exera l'exera. Really should be also. I think most of the Achranim probably would hold that it is no good. You shouldn't have, it's not Gzeir, you shouldn't allow Mamed, B'schach Pasam, the Rabban. But Chacham Avad Yosef has a tshuva where he says, he looked in Rishonim, and the Rishonim, he found the Ritva and Sukkah raises the issue. He thinks that to his knowledge, he's the only Rishon to raise the issue, and he says that it's good. The Ritva says Lahakam. So he says, so if it's a Machlekes Achranim, and the whole thing, the whole topic is only a Chumrah to begin with, so you're not mechuyev to be machma more than the Ritva. The Ritva says that it's a gzeir l'gzeir, shayin v'noim ramein. So he thinks that you don't have to be, you're not mechuyev to be machma over here. A lot of times people have noye sukkah. It's an enhancement of teshuva kein taduru. Because when you live in your home, so you don't have bare walls, you put wallpaper on the walls, or you hang up photographs, or you hang up paintings or pictures to beautify the house. So in the sukkah also, it should be teshu kein tadur. You should beautify the sukkah the same way you beautify your apartment. So people have a noye sukkah hanging from the walls and hanging from the schach. So the Gemara says, if the noye sukkah hanging from the schach, the Gemara has a machlokes amarayim, and we paskin has to be within four tefachim to the schach. If you have long strings hanging down, you have a very tall sukkah. You have long strings hanging down more than four tefachim, and the noye sukkah hanging down below, so it's considered as if you're not sitting tachas haschach. You're sitting tachas hanoi suke, and hanoi suke will be possible sachach. I remember many years ago, I once visited by my parents. They lived in Borough Park, both passed away by now. So my parents lived not far from Bobov. So I was going with my wife and my children to sukkah hopping, to visit all the different sukkahs. So we saw the Bobov sukkah, mamish line from wall to wall. There's no sukkah hanging down several feet down. Now nowhere near within three tefachim to the schach. And there isn't an inch of space in the sukkah to sit where you didn't have no sukkah hanging down. Maybe by now someone tipped them off. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, you're not yet in the mitzvah. That was the sukkah where the Rebbe went in between Shacharis and Halal, that everybody should go bench Esrog, this chutz l'sukkah. That's not in the sukkah. So brocha levat tol, if you say leishav v'sukkah, you're not yet. Anyway, you got to be careful. You have to, whenever you have schach, whenever you have noy sukkah hanging down from the schach, the Gemara quote in the Shulchan Aruch says that noy sukkah should all be within three tefachim to the schach. Otherwise, if you sit below it, it could be that it'll be posel. It's another problem. A lot of times people have a mat. The mat has to be nasa l'shem tzel. If the mat is intended to sit on it, these things are sometimes manufactured in the Orient, and it's intended the Chinamen are going to sleep on it, or they're going to sit on it in their offices. So then it's Dov HaMekabel Tumah. Fine, it's Gedula Kark and Tolush, but it's Dov HaMekabel Tumah. So a lot of times they're intended for kindergartens. They're intended for children to sleep on it, and the children take a nap on these kind of mats in the kindergartens. So if it was made melech atchil al das that people are going to sit on it, then the Mishnah I say that it's possible that davar hamakabel tumah. If it's made l'shem schach, then it's davar sheni mekabel tumah. You have to make sure that it's kosher to begin with. So then if you have these mats, so a lot of times the mat doesn't exactly fit your sukkah. So if it's bigger than the sukkah, no problem. But a lot of times it's smaller than the sukkah. So you have a big sukkah, well, I'm not going to sit there anyway. I'm only going to sit over here. Yeah, but the din is that the schach has to reach within 3 tefachim to the tefanis. I know on Bennett Avenue, a lot of different buildings make sukkahs. So everybody sits in the middle of the sukkah. No one sits right near the big, gigantic sukkah. No one sits near the edge. A lot of times by the edge, the schach is not within 3 tefachim of any of the walls. So none of the walls are mitzuref to the schach. So you're just sitting on the schach. You have to, a sukkah to be kosher has to have 3 walls, a minimum, shtaim kol chosam means L-shape, right angle to each other, shlishis apilu tefach. You have to have our chumra, we follow the chumra that the Ramo has, that you try to have 3 full walls, and the schach has to be touching the walls, or touching within 3 tefachim to the walls. Let's say if the schach is not, let's say you have, I remember I once visited, we took our children for excitement, this was many years ago when we had little children, so we took them on Chol HaMoed Sukkos to visit the sukkah in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue. Someone told us that it's something out of this world. So it wasn't out of this world. A nice sukkah, okay. And they had a roof, I think, I forgot already what it was, they had a roof on top of the sukkah, and the roof on top was not kosher for schach, and the roof was not picked up completely. So you had they had kosher schach on the whole sukkah, but if you have a roof on top, that part of the schach that's below the roof is possible the sachach. You're not yotze there. So if you have more than, if you have up until dalet amis is schach possible from the wall, if you have an empty gap of empty space, avir, so the schach has to be within 3 tefachim to the walls. If it's more than 3 tefachim away, you can't say lovet. But if you have schach pasul there at the edge of the sukkah, so then it's good up until dalet amis, not dalet tefachim, up until dalet amis it's good, because we declare that as a doifan akuma. So I remember the day that we happened to visit in the Spanish-Portuguese shul, so the roof was not, I don't know if it was always like that, or that day that we were visiting, I think it was always like that. I think the nature of the roof was such that you couldn't remove it. Or there was something sticking out from the building or something. So if it protrudes more than dalet amis, so all the schach under it is considered schach pasul. And more than dalet amis, you can't apply doifen akuma. You got a problem. I remember when I visited in Eretz Yisrael 3 different years, not consecutive years, at the Larom Hotel. Their sukkah is still pasul. They still didn't fix it. I don't understand. I told the guy 3 years, not in a row. He still didn't fix it. They have 2 sukkahs. So the main sukkah has a problem. Has schach pasul all over the place, more than dalet amis. I don't understand. The little sukkah on the side, that's kosher. And the main sukkah is not kosher. So you got to make sure that the schach reaches within 3 tefachim to the walls. Unless you have schach pasul at the edge. The schach pasul up until 4 amis is considered doifen akuma. And more than 4 amis is no good. The Mishnah says in sukkah, at the end of the second parak, even though you can't see the stars, the sukkah is still good. So that's what the Rishonim say from the Mishnah would appear, that l'chatchila, you should be able to see the stars through the schach. But the yevet, you go to the mitzvah, even though you can't see the stars. But what if the schach is so thick, you use such schach, that it can't even rain through? So that the Rishonim say, based on the Mishnah, that if it can't even rain through the schach, then it's not kosher. Let's say I'll take plywood, I'll take a sukkah, you have a big sheet of plywood, and the whole roof is gedulik wood. It's gedulik karka, tall sheni mekabel tumah. It's a big sheet of wood. So what's wrong? It's a perfect sukkah. So all the Rishonim say, no, that's no good. If it can't rain through, it's no good. Taisa says, and all the Rishonim quoted from the Taisa. They base it on the Lashon HaBraisa. Has to be misocheches kilchas. So what's wrong? So one could have said, because you need diras aroi. And if it can't rain in, that's called diras keva. But then you can say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it is good. Beautiful holds that a sukkah has to be diras keva. So then you say that it is good. So the Rishonim don't say that reason, because diras haroi versus diras keva. They say a different reason. They say that the sukkah has to be a sukkah and not beis of shalkol hashana kulam. If it can't rain in, then it's not called the sukkah. Then it's beis shekol shana kut. Anyway, the way we pask, not like Rabbi Yehuda, we pask on the sukkah has to be diras aroi, so for sure it's no good. So look, hatchili, you even have to be able to see the stars through. And b'diavad, even if you can't see the stars, it's also okay. But if you can't even rain through, then all the Rishonim say that it's no good. The Rambam quotes a chumra. It's a question whether it's a real din or it's just l'chumra b'alma. That this comes up a lot of times. A lot of times people make the frame of the sukkah, then they put up the schach, and then they put up the tfanis list. So the Rambam says you shouldn't do that. You should first put up the tfanis and then put the schach, because at the time that they place the tfanis, you should be machshir the sukkah. So if you don't have tfanis yet, so that's a violation of tasa lemanos. So the Achrayim asked, they seem to be gemaris that say beferish that it is acceptable to put the schach up before you put the tfanis. So that's a question, whether that Ramah was only l'chumr b'yalma, the Pashtus is only l'chumr b'yalma, or is it really me'ikar adin? Mor has a machlekes ha'tanayim, whether sukkah has to be shalachem. Rab Lezer's opinion, Rab Lezer the Tanner, Rab Lezer HaGadol, is of the opinion, sukkah has to be shalachem. Keshem she'ein anam yotzei dechabasa b'lulov shalchaveira, b'yontem farishan, kachein anam yotzei dechabasa b'sikosu shalchaveira. We don't pass like Rab Lezer. Tosfos says they can't imagine, according to Rabbi Lezer, a man is married and he has nine children, and he has nine children-in-law, and he has grandchildren, so they can't sit in the same sukkah. The husband has to sit in one sukkah, the wife has to sit in another sukkah. What are you going to say? This zayin al zayin of the schach has to belong to me. The next zayin al zayin of the schach has to belong, you have to measure. I have to sit like this, under my square, that zayin al zayin is mine. My wife has to sit in her square, she can't lean over. Everyone has to sit. How can it be? How can you imagine, according to Rabbi Lezer? In each shalachem. So Tosfos says, maybe the din is teshu kein tadur, as long as it belongs to the balabas. But by the lulav you don't say, by the lulav is not din teshu kein tadur. Okay. Anyway, we don't pass like Rabbi Lezer. The Maril tries to be machma like Rabbi Lezer, but we don't pass like that Maril. We don't accept Rabbi Lezer's opinion. Huktzel and mitzvasa is a din that if you put noye sukkah, if you hung up the gemara, if you hung up fruits, or vegetables, whatever, a bottle of wine, an esrog, a lot of people hang up esrogim, so it becomes huktzel and mitzvah, so you're not allowed to eat it. Even if it falls down in the middle of chalamod, you're not allowed to eat it. So that's a shaila. Huktzel and mitzvah just means that you're not allowed to eat it to benefit from it. What if I hung up a beautiful esrog, then I realize on yontiv I don't have an esrog. I don't have a kosher esrog. Can I use the esrog that I hung up over there? Hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to get hanor. Mitzvah slav nehonis nitzvah. I'm not getting hanor. So the Rebbe Yehuda is mechutin, the one who wrote the Shaar HaMishpat, and Choshe Mishpat, has a collection of Shabbos and Shuvas that's called Nachlas Ovois. I never knew that I had it in the house. I had bought a sefer by Rabbi Yosef Engel that had Nachlas Ovois attached in the end. I never paid attention to what was at the end. Until I saw Rabbi Chaim Moshe has a whole Shuvah about a Heter Agunis based on the Nachlas Ovois. He writes with Derech Eretz about this. And he was a mechutn of the Nadi Yehuda. Nadi Yehuda has tshuvas to him. They had back and forth. So then I looked at him. It's a very nice tshuva. So he has a tshuva about this. He says he thinks it's no good for the mitzvah, even though mitzvahs. So a lot of achrayim say mitzvahs are honest nitzvah. It's not a violation of hukta and mitzvah. So he thinks that it's no good because the din is that esrik has to have a heter achila. An esrik that doesn't have a heter achila, the Gemara says, is no good. So he says, this esrog doesn't have a heter achila because hukzel and mitzvasa. Okay, Yom Kippur, everybody has to fast except for the cholim, they have to eat. Okay. Some gedalia, even a cholim shein b'sakana is permitted to eat. Today is some gedalia. Ubris and minikas, the Gemara says, on some gedalia, maberis and minikas are automatically declared as a chodesh ha'im b'sakon, only if she's muberis 3 months. Muberis less than 3 months doesn't count. Unless she's really throwing up, unless she really needs it, then she's mamash a chodesh ha'im b'sakon. But if the woman is okay, just that she wants to declare muberis and menikas officially a chodesh ha'im b'sakon, so that has to be muberis of 3 months. On Yom Kippur, the only heter to eat is suffix sakon. We wouldn't say ein b'sakon. On Tisha B'av, even a chodesh ha'im b'sakon, we paskin is permitted to eat, but we don't automatically declare that every meberes and menikah is a chodesh ha'im b'sakon. You have to judge each case individually to see if the woman is really a chodesh ha'im b'sakon or not. Okay, I assume everybody is healthy. We don't have any cholim as kain, and we don't have any menikahs and meberes over here. Okay, we got to run downstairs for mincha. Okay. So, Lina, tomorrow I plan to learn a little coolant.